Hi, and welcome back to the Convergently Speaking podcast. Really glad to have you along today, and I hope you'll find this episode interesting. What I'm wanting to look at today is the age-old topic of free will. But rather than covering old ground, which has been gone over by philosophers and theologians since time immemorial, I want to bring another little thought or take on the topic that I actually gleaned from a friend a few years ago when this conversation came up. But before I get fully into sort of the crux of my thinking around this, just need to set a bit of context. When we think about humans and we think about people's psychology and how people come to be the way they are, whether it's yourself wondering about how you came to be who you are or people around you. Generally speaking, there's a few pieces to the puzzle that we consider. When I say we, I'm thinking about contexts such as studying psychology or different philosophies or different theories of mind. So generally it's accepted that we're some mix of nature and nurture. And what I like from, and I'm going to quote Richard Rohr again as I did last episode, is Richard Rohr, is he adds a little bit of a twist here. He says, the way I look at it is that we're one third nature, one third nurture, and one third free will. Now he clarifies that he's not saying that's literally, factually, empirically what's going on, but that is a way that he's found useful to think about it, to try and make it just a little bit more concrete and tangible. I've actually been thinking about it this way myself since I heard his quote, and yeah, I find it a really useful and interesting and helpful way to think about things. So if we look at nature, just to give some context, nature refers to things that are out of our control. Things that are built into our biology, things that are inbuilt into who we are. Basically anything that came with the package of creating us to be who we are before we were born, potentially even before we were conceived, all the pieces of the puzzle that made us us. That's nature. Whereas nurture is all the other moving parts that there was always some variability in the outcome. So for example, when we're in the womb, if our mother is stressed or if our mother is quite calm, if our mother is unwell or healthy, we hear these stories of women when they're pregnant fleeing war-torn countries and there's this residual trauma effect that gets passed on to the baby. So these things are nurture. Other things that can add to nurture are the way our parents eat and also, you know, the way that we're fed as children. Are we eating a good nutritious diet or are we subsisting on, you know, sugar and white bread? What's the discipline of our family like? What's the level of emotional awareness and nurture that we're given? Are we emotionally neglected or are our feelings validated and supported and acknowledged? Nurture obviously extends into our schooling. It extends into many other environmental factors as well. What part of the world do we live in? What's the culture that we're exposed to? How much diversity of culture are we exposed to? So these are all things that form nurture. And as you can see and hear, there's a lot of complexity. There's a lot of pieces in the system of who we are that contribute to our psychology. If we've got genetic predispositions towards depression or other illnesses, then that's going to impact on who we are. But then on the flip side, how our family and parents assist us to navigate, for example, depression or some other genetic health condition also impacts quite substantially on how we grow, the stories we tell about these illnesses and sicknesses and issues. There's also research now in the area of epigenetics that talks about how nurture can actually impact on the expression of our genes. So stress can actually turn certain genes to turn on that were present but weren't active. So that's another piece that adds to the complex relationship there between nature and nurture. So where does free will come into this? Well, if we're looking at the traditional take on free will, the arguments generally focus on people taking different positions on how much nature versus nurture are at work in us. As I said, Richard Rohr's suggesting a third each, but there's plenty that think we're all nurture, that we're born as a blank slate, we come out of our mother's womb and we're a blank slate and we become who environmental circumstances make us to be, that we're not born with any inherent personality traits. We're not born with any inherent interests or impulses or, you know, desires that are specific to who we are, that we're just a blank slate. And then all the factors that come after we come out of the womb, all the experiences that we have through our earlier years contribute to forming who we are and who we'll ultimately become. So it's a very fluid view of psychology and personality and human traits. Now, the other side of the coin, and this is the one that I've tended to lean towards traditionally, is that we have very little control. There's very little that's variable, very little that's in our control in terms of who we are and who we become. The reason I've been drawn towards this line of thinking is because of understanding how many complex systems are running for one person to be who they are. You know, we've got the genetic systems, we've got different biological systems, we've got family history, culture, all the things I was mentioning before, the history of the country that we're living in, even the climate of the place that we're living in, many decisions which are made for us about where we'll do schooling, about all these sort of choices of our life. And therefore, whilst it might feel like if we get up in the morning and we decide to get in our car and drive to the shop and purchase some Mexican food for lunch, actually there's not much free will occurring in that moment because, well, maybe we were conditioned through our family to like Mexican food or conditioned through our family to not like something. There's a whole heap of contributing factors as to why we would make the decision to pick Mexican as opposed to picking Indian or something else. So I've tended to think that we feel like we can make choices and we are making choices, but in reality, this is very strongly predetermined through a whole complex matrix of systems that are running. Now, when the thing that caused my thinking to change a little bit, and well, there's been a number of contributing factors that have caused me to change my perspective and feel a little bit more balanced in this. And that was when a friend of mine made a comment when we're having this discussion that he thought, or he was suggesting, that we all have different levels of free will. It was kind of like a bomb went off in my mind, and I thought, why have I never thought about this? Why has it never occurred to me that we can all have different levels of free will? Why would we assume that we all have the exact same level of free will? Surely if someone has a particularly substantial genetic factor in their makeup, maybe they're born with some sort of a degenerative condition that's omnipresent and always impacting on their life. Surely there's a lesser level of free will because of that piece, that circumstance, as opposed to someone else. For example, someone that is born with a genetic predisposition to something like schizophrenia, and so then at whatever age that gene starts to express itself and they start to have periods of psychosis and not being able to distinguish reality clearly, then they have a reduced level of free will, and that's nature that's contributing to that factor. So what I've come to believe, and the way that I more and more I'm thinking about this, is that every day, every micro decision we make, we're making a decision to either decrease or increase our level of free will. And that probably sounds a little bit strange. What does that even mean? What I'm meaning by this is that if we pursue self-development, self-awareness, to become more aware of who we are and what is driving us to act the way we act, then as we become aware of new pieces of the puzzle of our psychology, we have a greater level of consciousness and choice about how we act. So to make this concrete, a great example would be the way someone becomes stressed and maybe even anxious when things are messy, when they've left their house in disarray and they come home and they realize they haven't cleaned up, they haven't sorted things out, things are all over the place, and there's a sense of stress there. And so that triggers them to act out and be snappy and be grumpy or whatever with their significant other. So that's a situation where there's a system running, and for better or worse, this person's basically, they're reacting in an autopilot mode. It's reaction, it's not responding to the actual situation. Now, if they go and do some introspection, maybe they see a psychologist, maybe they engage with something like the Enneagram, which is really, really good for helping us get below and see what our unconscious motivations are. Possibly they learn or they realize that when they were growing up, if the house was messy and chaotic, their mother would become quite stressed and uptight. And so they learn to associate mess with being stressed and things being out of control and the environment not being a safe environment to be. And so therefore, when they see the mess, then it triggers this stress response to them. So if once they've realized this, they then have an increased capacity to make choices. They have a piece of free will that they, in a sense, didn't have before. Because they didn't have the knowledge about why they were reacting this way, they couldn't make decisions to work through this. They couldn't make decisions to actually in the moment go, hold on, I'm feeling stressed because of this mess. I have a choice whether I take this out on my family, significant other, or whether I actually work through this and process it and choose not to project this onto others, but choose to actually work through this. You know, maybe go journal or go for a walk on the beach. So the way I look at it at this point is that, and maybe things will change, is that I make decisions on a day-to-day basis, and probably thousands of them, to either put my head in the sand, not pursue becoming more aware of why I do what I do, versus making decisions that will increase my awareness, my understanding of why I do what I do, of why I respond versus react, or why I react versus respond, why these feelings come up in response to certain circumstances, or why I neglect my duty in this area, or actually for me, I tend to be over-responsible at times, taking on too much responsibility, taking on things that aren't my burden. And why do I do that? And how can I adjust and reframe that? You've got to have the insight first before you can actually make the change. So I think there are many ways that we can actually pursue raising our level of awareness to increase our free will. And not in this episode, but in episodes down the line, I'd like to explore some of the tools I've used. And hopefully when I have some people on for interviews, we can go into that space as well. We're all different and we all have different ways that we're going to, let's say, wake up to our patterns, wake up to our dysfunctions, wake up to our hypocrisy and contradictions. I think that we're all paradoxical. We all say one thing and do another, or we make statements and share beliefs that are contradictory. And I'm not sure that's always a problem, but it can be a problem if we've got contradictory beliefs and as a result, we're causing stress. So for myself, I find that I like to keep people happy. At the same time, I have strong boundaries around self-care and doing things to ensure that I can operate in a sustainable manner and not burn out, and not just not burn out, but be well, be healthy. And so sometimes I find myself feeling stressed, and when I analyze it, I realize that on the one hand, I'm trying to keep people in my life happy, and on the other hand, I'm trying to nurture the inner Dan and make sure that the inner Dan is happy and healthy. And quite often those two things are in contradiction with one another. I can't keep person A happy whilst also ensuring that I'm maintaining a good amount of energy and self-care and that kind of thing. And so as I work through that, as we work through these contradictions, then we can start to reconcile or find some resolution to some of these stresses and anxieties. So that's all I have for you today. I'm interested to hear others' thoughts on this topic. It's one I enjoy. At the same time, realize, at least with what we have in our understanding of the human psyche at this time, we really don't know how much free will we have. But it's fun for discussion. It's fun to keep considering and talking about. So feel free to come over to the Convergently Speaking Facebook page if you want to leave a comment. At some point down the line, I hope to get a website up and running. But at this point, we've just got the Facebook page. So I hope you enjoyed that and look forward to talking with you again soon.